You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to have you with us today as we're on this third week of Advent. Let me ask you a question. How is this Advent season going for you? A few weeks ago, we said we were going to be intentional about making this a season of worship. How's that going? I hope you're doing that. I hope you're embracing this time as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of our Savior as a time of worship. Come on, this isn't a time to be stressed out, yelling at our kids, maxing out our credit cards. This is a season of worship. And so I hope you found some time to be intentional to do that, maybe to put some Christmas carols on around the house, to spend some time in prayer, and just to be intentional to embrace this as a season of worship. There's still time, church. There's still time to prepare your heart. We're going to help you today because we're continuing our Advent series that we've been in. And what we're doing in this series is we are experiencing the Christmas story from the perspective of the different characters that we read about, that we see famously depicted in the nativity scenes, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. And so today we're going to look at the Christmas story from the perspective of the shepherds. And we're going to talk about God's purpose for our lives. We're going to talk about how God has purpose for our lives, even though we feel ordinary at times. He's got a purpose for ordinary people like you and me. See, here's something I know about you. I know that God has great purpose for your life. Come on, I need you to get involved this morning and help me preach this message online. Somebody in Scarsdale, New York, God has purpose for your life. Come on, where are my people in Port Chester and Rybrook and Harrison? God has purpose for your life. Somebody watching in Connecticut, I'm telling you, God has a purpose for your life. Somebody watching in the Bronx, God has a purpose for your life. And here's what I know about you. Here's what I know about you. You want your life to count. You want your life to matter. We all want to live lives of significance. When you get to the end of your life, you want to be able to look back one day and know that your life made a difference, that your life mattered. And I believe God wants that for us. But here's the truth. Most days, we feel really ordinary, don't we? Come on, we want to live lives of purpose, but let's be honest, most days we're busy, we've got the daily grind, we're just trying to go to work, pay bills. Those of you who are, you know, married or have kids, you're just trying to take care of the house and the kids and keep up with things. Most days we feel really ordinary, but every now and then, God allows us to experience these divine interruptions. Come on, every now and then, God will interrupt your routine, and he'll invite you to greater purpose. Maybe he'll put a need in front of you. Maybe he'll put a person in front of you, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, somebody who needs you, who needs prayer, some kind of way you can step up and serve them. Every now and then, God will give you a moment where he'll interrupt your life, and he'll stir up a dream that he placed in your heart years ago, or he'll give you a new dream. He'll put something on your heart that he's calling you to step out and do. And so today, we're going to continue the Christmas story. In fact, we're going to read from one of the most famous portions of the Christmas story. And we're going to see how the shepherds were just going about their ordinary lives when God caused them to experience a divine interruption. And they receive a divine invitation to step into a greater purpose. And so today, we're reading from Luke chapter 2, and let me just tell you what's happened already. Mary and Joseph have traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem to take part in this census, and they've already given birth to Jesus. Let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Here's what it says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Look at verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So here are the shepherds. They're out in the fields caring for their flocks when an angel of the Lord appears to them and announces this news to them that the Savior, the Messiah, the promised one, has been born. Now, what's really interesting here is who the angels appeared to. who they appeared to. See, in Jesus' time, in Roman times, it was really common for people to hire a herald, someone to announce the good news when a child was born, especially big news like a firstborn son. You know, this is kind of like today we have gender reveals on social media, you know, like maybe you pop a balloon or you set off a smoke bomb and it turns out to be pink or blue and all of your family celebrates. Some people even get involved and use pyrotechnics and cause forest fires. Don't do that, okay? We don't want you to get arrested. By the way, I want to say thank you to all of you because our church has had a baby boom recently. So thank you to all of you who are doing your part to contribute to church growth at Redemption. God bless you. But this was really common back then. People would hire a herald to announce the good news. Well, who would we expect God to announce the good news, to herald the good news of the birth of his son? We might expect God to announce the news to somebody really important, right? Like maybe Caesar, maybe the local rulers there, King Herod, certainly, you know, the religious elite and the scribes and the teachers of the law. But that's not what we see. What do we see here? Who does God send his angel to? God sends his angel to herald the birth of his son, to announce this good news to a bunch of shepherds. Shepherds. Now, this is really surprising, because shepherding was considered to be a really lowly profession in Jesus' time. Nobody aspired to be a shepherd. No little kids in elementary school were like, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd. Shepherds were, you know, they were just nothing special. I mean, let's be honest, they hung around sheep all day. They smelled like sheep. You know, it's a little bit difficult to get a date on a Friday night when you smell like sheep. Things were not going for them really well, going really well for them in the social department. They were poor. They were uneducated. They were marginalized. They were forgotten. In many ways, you could say nothing really important ever happened to shepherds. But from the Christmas story, we learn something really important, and you can put this in your notes today. Here it is. God uses ordinary people for his extraordinary purposes. Come on, church. God uses ordinary people for his extraordinary purposes. I think so many times we just feel so ordinary. Anybody out there, you feel like a superstar Christian, like you just pray so much, you can't even find time to do anything else. Like you and God are like this. Anybody out there? I think most of us don't feel like rock star Christians. I think most of us, even if we're killing it in our career or other areas of our lives, most of us would say, yeah, I could pray more. I could spend more time with God. I could be closer to him. I'd like to be further along in my walk with God. I'd like to grow more spiritually. And I think many times we just feel so very ordinary. But I've got good news for you this morning, church. Come on. I came to preach to you online and tell you that God specializes in the ordinary. God specializes in using ordinary people. Think about Jesus, the very first disciples that he called to follow him. People like Peter and Andrew and James and John. They were fishermen, just ordinary guys. They weren't the most learned people. They weren't the most impressive people. They weren't like, you know, the best of the best from rabbi school. They were fishermen. They were ordinary, but Jesus called them to follow him. So if you feel ordinary today, congratulations, you're qualified. Come on, you're qualified. You're just the kind of person that God wants to use. But let me just talk to you for a moment about two obstacles that will actually keep you from stepping into your God-given purpose. Are you ready? I want you to write these down and think about these. Two obstacles that will keep you from stepping into your God-given purpose. Number one is comparison. One of the biggest obstacles that will keep you from stepping fully into what God has for your life, his extraordinary purposes for your ordinary life, is the obstacle of comparison. So often we compare ourselves to other people and we end up feeling just ordinary and inadequate. Come on, how many of you have that one friend who their life just seems perfect? Like you go to their house and everything is neat and spotless and in order and their kids are well-mannered. I mean, their house is so nice and everything is so neat, they would impress Joanna Gaines. Come on, they would make Martha Stewart proud. At your house, the laundry is piling up. There's dishes in the sink. You're just trying to keep your kids from burning down the house if you're like me. And sometimes you compare yourself to people like that and you end up feeling so inadequate. Come on, we all have that one friend who's just like uber successful. And every time you're around them, you know, you're just hearing about their latest success and their achievements and the promotions that they're getting and the commissions that they're making at work. And we can compare ourselves to people and feel inadequate. We go on social media and we see people's, you know, wonderful things, perfect little vacations that people are taking. And don't they look so nice in that outfit? Let me just tell you, social media is people's highlight reels. Okay? When we compare ourselves to people on social media, often we compare our lowest moments to other people's highlight reels. I look at my own Instagram feed and I'm impressed by my life. I'm like, I want to live that guy's life because I put my best moments on Instagram. I put my best moments on Facebook. If you look at my life, it looks amazing. I want to live it too. Sometimes we even compare ourselves to other people spiritually. Come on, how many of you have that one friend in life group, when they pray, it just sounds like the Bible. They just, like, they're experts when they pray. You feel like, oh my gosh, I wish I could be a Christian like them. You know, we compare ourselves to other people spiritually, and we kind of have this sense, if they only knew how many hang-ups I have, how many habits I have, you know, how many sins I'm still wrestling with. We do this. We compare ourselves, and we end up feeling really inadequate and really ordinary. And the truth is, the shepherds probably felt inadequate. They probably felt really ordinary. But the truth is that they had a very important job. They had a very important job. In fact, the sheep that the shepherds kept on the outskirts of Bethlehem, between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, these were sheep that were used for sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. So if there were no shepherds, there would be no sheep, and no one would be able to make atonement for their sins through the sacrificial system in the temple. They actually had a really big deal when you stop and think about it. Come on, let me just put it to you this way. You never know how God is using your ordinary life. Come on, you never know how God is using your ordinary life. You might feel like, well, I'm just a mom, a stay-at-home mom, taking care of kids, changing diapers, you know, wiping runny noses, making a bunch of meals, you know, around the house and just feeling exhausted, keeping up with kids. Come on, you never know how God is using you to put the love of God into the hearts of those kids, how God's going to use those kids' lives. You never know how God's going to use your ordinary life. Maybe for some of you, you're just being a godly example in the marketplace, in your work, as a teacher, as a medical professional, as a somebody who works in the financial industry, and you're just doing your job as unto the Lord, and you're being a good example, and you're doing things ethically, and you're a person of integrity. Come on, you never know how God is using your ordinary life, your ordinary job, your example to make a difference in the lives of the people around you. Some of you have been serving faithfully on a team at our church, you know, for years, and maybe there's been days when you've come in to serve, you know, in guest services or in our kids ministry and or worship or production, and you had a day where you felt like, am I making any difference? But that was the very day that somebody came into our church, somebody tuned into our church online, and they experienced Jesus Christ for the first time in their life. Come on, you never know how your ordinary life is making a difference, how your giving, how your prayers, how your faithfulness are making a difference for God kingdom. Let me just tell you something. God isn't calling you to be someone else. He's calling you to be you, and be encouraged because God specializes in using ordinary people. Don't compare yourself. Don't compare yourself. Here's the second thing. We're talking about some obstacles that can keep us from stepping into our God-given purpose. And the second one is this: fear. First one's comparison. The second is fear. Notice this in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "But the angel said to them," to the shepherds, "do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Now, it's interesting that when the angel appeared to people throughout the whole Christmas narrative, the first thing he always says to them is do not be afraid. I mean, it's kind of, you know, counterintuitive, because you would think you'd be afraid if the devil appeared to you and you'd be really happy or excited to experience an angel. But let's be real. Come on, the devil is all around us every day. We see him everywhere. It's when an angel shows up that you get scared, because you know God's about to talk to you. And so that's what happens here. This angel shows up and he says, don't be afraid. And so often we allow fear to get in the way of God using us. So often we allow fear to be a barrier to keep us from being used by God. I think many times we allow fear to keep us from sharing our faith with someone. Like, maybe God has given you the opportunity to share your faith, your testimony, your story, your faith story with someone, or invite somebody to church or church online, and we just allow the fear of what are they going to think of me to keep us from being a witness. I think there are times when we want to be more generous. I think most of us would say, I'd like like to be more generous. I want to be more of a giver. But there are times when we allow fear to stop us from doing that. Maybe it's stepping out to pursue some purpose that God has put in your heart, a dream that he's put in your heart. Maybe it's starting a business or going back to school, or maybe it's starting some kind of nonprofit or serving in some way in the church. There's always been something on the inside of you that wants to step out and do that. You admire other people that you see doing that, but you've allowed fear to keep you from doing that. Fear can be one of the greatest barriers to keep us from stepping into our God-given purpose. Can I just tell you, I've had to overcome fear my whole life to pursue God's purpose. Don't look at me and think, oh, Pastor Jeremy, you're just different. You're in a special category. Oh, no, no. My whole life, I've had to overcome the barrier of fear to pursue God's purpose for my life. Can I just tell you, I was scared to death to preach my very first sermon years ago. I had to do it afraid. Come on, I was scared to death when I felt God calling me to quit my teaching job to go into full-time ministry with my dad, who was my pastor at the time. It was like taking a vow of poverty, to be honest with you. I was scared. I had to do it scared. I had to do it scared. I was scared when I felt God calling us to move from my hometown of New Orleans up to Amy's hometown of Buffalo to take a position at a really great church. I believed God was in it, but it was a big move for me. I was kind of scared to do it. Guess what? I had to overcome my fear to pursue God's purpose. I was afraid when my pastor asked me to go from being the youth pastor to being the senior associate pastor of a very large and well-known historic church. I had to step into it and just do it afraid. And I can promise you, I was scared to death when I had to pack up a U-Haul truck to move to Westchester County to start a church where I didn't know anybody. I had to overcome my fear to pursue God's purpose for my life. Can I just tell you something this morning, church online? Your greatest purpose lies just on the other side of your fear. Somebody tuned in this morning just to hear that. Somebody shared this message with you on YouTube today just for you to know that your greatest purpose lies just on the other side of your fear. There are things that God has put in your heart to do. Come on, don't let fear stop you from stepping into everything that God has for you. So back to our story. Here's what's going on. The angel appears to the shepherds who are just doing their ordinary thing, caring for sheep out in the fields. And after the shepherd appears, a whole host of like a heavenly choir of angels appears and begins singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill to men upon whom his favor rests. And then the angels go away, and we pick the story back up in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Here's what it says. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So the angels disappear and go back into the heavens. You know, can you imagine? And here are the shepherds just kind of startled, but they go and find Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And can you imagine? They get to be eyewitnesses to the birth of the Savior. I mean, just stop and think about that for a moment. They got to be there with Mary and Joseph and the farm animals. Like, they were there. They got to be eyewitnesses to the birth of the Savior of the world, to the birth of Jesus. Now, I want you to see something here. I want you to notice something about the shepherd's response after encountering the angels. They could have freaked out. They could have been paralyzed in fear. They could have been like, what just happened? Like, what did we just experience? Like, I think we're going to need to have a group therapy session to process this. But look at what they did. Verse 15. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The shepherds drop everything. They drop everything. They leave their sheep and their duties and their work, and they go and they seek Jesus. They made a choice to go and to worship the newborn Savior. Let me put it to you this way this morning, church. Worship is a choice. We can choose worship. Worship, seeking God. When I say worship, I'm not just talking about something we do on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about honoring God with your life, pursuing God, his purposes for your life, his will, allowing your will to align with his will, making his priorities and his ways your ways and your priorities. We can choose worship. We can choose worship over fear, over anxiety, over busyness of being so busy in this Christmas season that our souls shrivel up. We can choose worship over materialism and getting sucked into thinking that this season is all about how much money we can spend and how much we can get. No, 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 church. We can choose worship. That's what we see in the shepherds. And I think many of you, there's some additional stress you feel this time of year. Let's be honest. Hello, it's 2020. It's been a stressful year. But I think even coming into the Christmas season, right, there's extra things to do, preparations to be made, gifts to be purchased. And I know maybe we're not all having as big of family gatherings or parties as we're used to having, but there's some extra things, right? Some extra things on your to-do list. And we can even feel a little bit guilty by slowing down. By slowing down and really being intentional about worship. But let me just tell you something. I think we can learn something from the shepherds. We can choose worship. Worship is a choice. It's prioritizing God's presence in your life. It's prioritizing, God, I'm going to carve out time for you because you're more important than everything else I have happening in my life. The shepherds stepped away from their busyness. They stepped away from all of their duties to worship the newborn king. And in doing so, they experienced something amazing, something incredible. They were there. They got to experience the birth of Jesus. But the story doesn't end there. Something else incredible happens. Let's look at this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17 through 18, here's what it says. When they had seen him, when the shepherds had seen the baby Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And look at verse 18. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They went out and they spread the word about what they had seen. They didn't just keep it to themselves. The shepherds become the very first witnesses, the very first preachers, the very first people in world history to share the gospel, to share the good news of a Savior. Think about that for just a moment. They were just a bunch of ordinary shepherds, but because they chose worship, because they prioritized like experiencing Jesus, they get transformed into witnesses, the very first people in world history to ever share the good news of the birth of the Savior. And they go down in world history, and we read about their story to this day. Here's the idea. Here's the idea, church. You activate your purpose when you prioritize God's presence. Somebody needs to put that in their notes today. Somebody needs to open up the Redemption app and make sure you get that in your notes today. You activate your purpose when you prioritize God's presence. See, the shepherds chose worship. They chose worship. They prioritized the presence of God, and it changed their lives. The shepherds go from being spectators to being witnesses. They become part of the story. They weren't just spectators. They didn't just watch it. They get sucked into the story, and because they pursue Jesus, it changes everything. What made the difference? They encountered Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus. Let me just tell you, the presence of God is what will activate his purpose in your life. Encountering Jesus is what changes everything. It changes everything. Think about Jesus calling the very first disciples, just a bunch of ordinary fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, but they spent time with Jesus. They were there. They were there when Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. They were there when Jesus fed the 5,000. They saw Jesus touch people's lives. They heard him preach things that nobody had ever heard before. They spent time with Jesus, and it changed their lives. And they went out, and they changed the world. I think about the Apostle Paul. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he was actually persecuting the church before he became an apostle. He was out persecuting the church. He was a religious Pharisee. And one day he was on the road to Damascus to go out and arrest some Christians when he met Jesus. And Jesus knocked him off his horse and repurposed his life. He said, I have an assignment for you. Come on. What made the difference in Paul's life? He had an encounter with Jesus. And he ends up writing more than half of the New Testament and going down as one of the greatest leaders of faith in all of the Bible. It's an encounter with Jesus that'll change your life. Let me just tell you something. You can only give to others what you've experienced for yourself. You want God to use your life. You want to make a difference. You want to know that your life has mattered, that it counts at the end of the day. I want to know my life made a difference. It's an encounter with Jesus that'll change everything. You don't have to be the most talented person. You don't have to be the most gifted person. You don't have to be the most perfect spiritual person. But you get around Jesus. You spend time with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, it's the Jesus in you that people will see. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't know where to start. Prioritize the presence of God in your life. I read a story a couple years ago that stuck with me. It's a story about Saint Francis of Assisi. And Saint Francis was actually born as the son of a very wealthy Italian merchant. He was born into a life of privilege. And through a series of unfortunate events and him getting into some trouble, he had this encounter with God, this amazing encounter with God, and he decided to fully devote his life to following Jesus. In fact, he read the story where Jesus meets the rich young ruler in the Gospels, and Jesus tells the rich young ruler to go and sell everything and give the money to the poor and follow him. And St. Francis decided to take that literally. And so he gave up all of his wealth. He renounced his wealth, and he began this passionate journey to follow Jesus. I mean, this was so serious that his father actually renounced him, like denounced him, and disowned his son before the bishop there. Well, this interesting thing happens. There's this one episode where there's a very famous nobleman, a very wise nobleman named Lord Bernard. One of the leading men of the city of Assisi. And he had been following and watching St. Francis from a distance for about 2 years. And he kind of wanted to know the secret of St. Francis's spirituality. So he invited Francis to come and stay at his house and to spend the night and to dine with him. And in fact, he even had a bed set up for St. Francis in his very own chamber where he could watch St. Francis and hopefully learn something from him. And of course, St. Francis was too humble. And so Lord Bernard pretended to fall asleep so he could watch St. Francis. In the middle of the night, St. Francis got up and went to his window and got on his knees and began to cry out, "My God and my all, my God and my all." And as the story goes, he wept in tears and prayed fervently as the night went on. He prayed all night long and cried out, "My God and my all." And Lord Bernard watched this from his bed and was touched deeply in his heart by the Holy Spirit. The next morning he woke up and he said, Brother Francis, I'll follow you anywhere you go. I'll commit my life to following anywhere you go. I'll do anything you say," because he was moved by Francis's passionate devotion. What made the difference? What made the difference? It was St. Francis's simple passion for God's presence that impacted Lord Bernard. Just his simple passion for the presence of God. Come on, can I just encourage you this morning? If you want your life to count, if you want to step into a greater life of purpose, if you want to be used by God and you're not even sure where to start, just begin by prioritizing the presence of God in your life. Just start a life of prayer. Just learn how to talk to God every day, to commune with him. While you're going about your business, while you're going about your commute, while you're doing work, just invite God into your life every day. Come on, get back into the Word of God. We've got more resources at our disposal, as modern day people, at our hands than ever in world history. You can open up the Bible app and it'll read to you. Come on, sometimes I listen to the Bible app while I'm doing my morning exercises and stretches. Get into the Word of God. Put some worship music on. Put your earbuds in and fill your heart and your mind with worship. Get into the presence of God. Begin to meditate on the Word of God. Fill your home with the presence of God. It'll change your life. Just start there. Just start there. Come on, we can only give to others what we have, what we've experienced for ourselves. So back to our story for just a moment. The Son of God is born in a manger in Bethlehem, and God sends his angels to herald, to announce the good news of the birth of his son. And he could have chosen anyone. He could have gone to the spiritual elite. He could have gone to the richest of the rich, to the rulers. But instead, he chooses a bunch of shepherds, just a bunch of ordinary people out doing their job, just being faithful to their duties. But they become the very first believers to ever share the gospel. Come on, church. Let me just tell you this morning, this Advent season, God is inviting you. God is inviting me to come and experience his son to experience this good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God is calling us. God is whispering to us this Advent season by his Spirit. Come and experience my son. Come and encounter this good news that comes to us in the form of a person, not a gift under the tree, not a Christmas bonus, but it comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. God is inviting us to come and encounter him, to experience him, to be witnesses, to be witnesses to his birth, to share this good news in word and in deed with people around us. And here's the good news. God uses ordinary people like you and me to share this good news. And he uses us for his extraordinary purposes, and he wants to use you. Come on, he wants to use you. If you feel ordinary today, if you don't feel like a spiritual rock star, if you're very mindful this morning, even as you watch this message today, of just how you've fallen short of your own sins, of your own failures, of your own bad habits and hang-ups. I know we're always mindful of those things. If those things are on your mind this morning and you just feel really ordinary when it comes to the spiritual realm of life, let me just help you this morning. Let me just encourage you this morning. Ordinary people are the only kind of people that God has ever used. Come on, the scripture is full of God using ordinary people, people who just answered the call, people who were just available, people who just stepped out in obedience and said, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. I'll go, I'll be a witness, I'll share, I'll love, I'll give, I'll serve. God, you can use my life. And he'll use you. He'll use you. He's inviting us to step into that kind of purpose. Come on, it's only imperfect people that God uses. Can I just say this morning that your life is too short and your calling is too great to settle for an ordinary life. Your life is too short. Your calling is too great. There's too great a purpose over your life. God gave too much for you by giving his one and only son for you to settle for anything less than stepping into his extraordinary purpose that he has for your life. And here's the beautiful thing. It just starts with pursuing the presence of God. We can have all the God that we want. We can have all of his presence that we want if we'll prioritize it, if we'll go after him, if we'll make time for him. God, it's all about you. God, you're number one. God, you're the most important thing in my life, to worship you, to follow you, to love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength, and to love the people that you've placed in my life, to prioritize your presence. Come on, let's pray into this morning. Would you pray with me? Let's answer the invitation today that God is giving us to step into this. Father, we thank you for this Advent season. God, we thank you for this time that we can prepare room in our hearts to experience you afresh, to remember the fact that you came for us, that you will come again, and that you're coming to us afresh in this season. And Lord, today we choose worship. Would you pray that with me? Lord, we choose worship. We choose to prioritize your presence in our lives. God, we want you more than we want anything else. God, we want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to know your purposes. We want to know your will. We cannot live without you, God. We want your presence in our lives. And Father, we ask that as we pursue you, as we spend time with you, that, Lord, you would transform us into witnesses as to those who have been with you, so that your presence is on our lives and we're able to make a difference in the lives of other people. Lord, today I pray for that person who feels far away from you today. I pray for that person today who would say, Pastor, I want to know God that way. I want to know him that way. I want to walk with him. I wish I had that kind of relationship with God. Come on, I'm praying for you and I'm speaking to you for just a moment. If that's you, if there's something in your heart saying, I want that, we believe that's the gentle tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart, drawing you to a gracious and loving and merciful God who wants to know you, who wants to have a relationship with you, who gave his son for you, who gave his life for you so that you could know him in that way. And if that's you, today's your day to say yes to Jesus. Come on, pray this with me. Jesus, I give you my yes. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to follow you. Lord, today, I turn from my sin. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you are who you said you are, the Son of God, that you live for me, that you died for me, and that you were raised to new life for me. And I choose to follow you today with all of my heart, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, bless every person who prayed that prayer today for the first time or for the 100th time. May they know your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemption.com.